Is no news good news? I guess we'll find out next Saturday. Let's talk about it.
Today's QuickCast is brought to you by Martin Vintage. MartinVintage.com, where if you enter BOILED at checkout, you'll get 20% off.
Mom, thanks for watching.
So I got this cold right before the TCU game. I was sick for a few days before that. Felt bad in the stands. Didn't feel as bad as our Boilermakers did on the field. Felt pretty bad. And then after that, developed this weird voice thing where my voice just doesn't sound like me consistently. Maybe tomorrow when I wake up, it will. Yesterday, I was fine. Very odd. I don't get it. But that's part of the reason that we haven't been putting out a lot of content. My face can only carry me so far. My voice is needed because that's really all I do well is talk and make noise. So I'm trying to shake this. I apologize for the way my voice sounds, but it'll get better eventually, I guess. We'll see. It's been awfully quiet out of God's country. Not a whole bunch to report, really, if you pay attention to Golden Black and other outlets. Just not a lot coming out, and Purdue really needs good news right now. They need to find out that McCann and Sindelar are both very healthy and ready to go. Obviously, Bailey won't be coming back from his injury, but this young Purdue team needs everything it can get, everything that can be on its side. As you know, this is the youngest football team in the Big Ten. You really can't discount that right away. But on top of that, Purdue lost three guys, three starters, three seniors going into the TCU game, and it showed versus TCU. They need everybody to be healthy that's available, especially the upperclassmen. Golden Black said that of all the snaps this season, 58% of Purdue's football snaps have been taken by freshmen, redshirt freshmen, and sophomores. If you don't think that's significant, you don't know much about football. And also, if you don't think that's significant, you don't understand the difference between an 18-year-old and a 22-year-old. Purdue's playing men when they square up in the Big Ten. Almost every week, these teams will be very, very tough, very big, very strong, and Purdue's lack of size and lack of experience will hurt them and has already hurt them this season. But as negative as the TCU game was, as bad as it was, there were some positives everybody could take away and everybody could see. There's a little debate on one of them, but I'm still going to bring it up. First off, Karloftis was good. He played great. He was super active, especially in the first quarter. He was in TCU's quarterback's face. He had that interception that looked great. He really tracked the ball well. Barnes continues to be very, very good on pass rush. You have two very, very good defensive ends who can rush the quarterback well and look like to be stepping into that defensive, a den of defensive ends moniker well. It looks like these two could be significantly good in the next season, and maybe this year too. But Karloftis specifically, his youth shows a little bit. He gets tired, and then they can go to single team as they go on. Plus, TCU was simply brilliant at taking away Purdue's defensive end's importance. One of the guys that wasn't blocked super well was Ben Holt. Ben Holt finished the TCU game with 17 or 18 tackles. I had a debate with a couple people. Was it a good game? Was it a bad game because he missed so many tackles? I don't think you can really go into a game that someone has 17 or 18 tackles and get real critical, especially as badly as Purdue played in that game. I'd say Holt was one of the bright spots, just like Karloftis in that game. But was he missing the first tackle? Yes, there's no doubt. But he pursued tackles after he missed the tackle. He continued to go. His motor's very good. His energy's very good, which is something this Purdue team needs. Offensive side, Bryson Hopkins had another great day, almost 80 yards receiving, had the biggest play from line of scrimmage offensively, and most of it was his own work. It was yards after catch. The left side, he came out, I think it was a seam route, and just kind of outran a linebacker and then finished the play really strong. Hopkins is going to be a bright spot for the rest of the season, as long as he can stay healthy. He's good, he's big, he's got an NFL body, and tough to ignore him, I think, even in a bad game like the TCU game. Another guy that was super important versus TCU was Dellinger. He hit that 53-yard field goal. He continues to be a strong part of the Purdue team because he's kicking the ball out of the end zone, which he really couldn't do consistently last year. So his offseason workouts are paying off big. That's really, really important. So there were some positives you could take away from the TCU game, but overall, that one was tough to swallow. I'm really late on getting this done. I actually recorded a quick cast a week ago, Monday or Tuesday of last week. Had some file problems, never could get the thing finalized because of what came down to a corrupt file, and I had some work that kept me away from re-recording. So now we can look ahead a little bit. First off, I believe Purdue can beat Minnesota if Sindelar can play and if McCann can play. I think Minnesota is one-dimensional. They run the ball a lot. They don't have a very good passing game because their quarterback's not very good, but they are physical. That's one thing that's really tough for Purdue to match up with. That might create problems with Purdue, obviously, because physicality has been something that this team has lacked and struggled with because of the youth. But I just think Purdue can beat Minnesota, and I think what we're going to see this season is maybe a win, then a loss, a win, then a loss, over and over and over. They're in big trouble because that Nevada game really was needed. That win specifically was really needed. So I think they can beat Minnesota, though. I might look like a damn fool. I know they got... I remember what happened last year in Minneapolis. Remember Purdue got beaten up. I just think Purdue can beat Minnesota because I've watched them play three times this year, and I'm not impressed. So, and they're not playing anybody. Their competition is not really good. It's not on the level of Purdue's competition. But then again, Purdue's 1-2, and they're 3-0. They always come out of the pre-con really strong because of the games they play. So here we go again. Purdue versus Minnesota. They will play Saturday at 3:30. Might have significant news for you from this very site later on this week. But I know I will have news regarding a handsome hour. We're going to try to record in the next few days. Hopefully I will sound better than this. Have a great day. God bless you. Hammer down. And we'll see you soon.
BS all the time.